Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor, where we are equipped and encouraged to nurture the hope of Christ in our home. So today with me, I have Sarah Holmstrom, and she is the co-founder of Raising Prayerful Kids. I know that they are passionate about praying with kids and about helping kids learn to connect to God through prayer. And this is something that I've had people ask me, like, how do you actually get kids to pray in a way where they know it's meaningful? So we're going to dive into that, but first let's let Sarah introduce herself.
Oh, thank you, Christy. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I love all of the work that you do. Yes, my name is Sarah. I live in Rancho Cucamonga in California with my husband, and we have four kids. The oldest is seven, and then we've got a six-year-old, and then one that turned four yesterday, and then a one-and-a-half-year-old. So it's totally a circus at our house, but it's fun. My husband is a teaching pastor and student ministries pastor at our church in Pomona, and then I work there really part-time doing kids ministry, but really my heartbeat and passion is my ministry, Raising Prayerful Kids, and we wrote a book that we're in the process of trying to get published, and then we also have our blog, Raising Prayerful Kids, where we share fun and easy and life-giving ways to pray with your kids without adding more to do to your schedule, because who has time to do more? But this ministry, so we started it a little over 2 years ago, and it just started as us writing for some of our mom friends and sharing some ways to pray with your kids. And I had no idea that saying yes to joining this ministry with my friend Steph and researching different ways to pray and experimenting with more ways to pray, I just had no idea that it would totally change my parenting. So I feel like I'm still a messy mom. I still have a long way to go, but I'm definitely freer and just loving my life and realizing that I'm not doing it on my own and I'm doing it with God. So it's totally changed my life. So that's why I just love chances like this to share about some of the stuff that we've been doing.
Awesome. Well, now I'm even more excited to talk to you.
You're awesome.
That's great. All right. So, okay. So you've got four kids and okay. So how do you keep connected to God? I mean, this kind of ties into what you were just talking about. So let's keep talking about that. How do you keep connected to God?
I love this question. Okay. I think, well, it looks different in different seasons, but right now I'm just loving waking up before my kids in the morning. And I know everybody's got a kind of different way of doing this, but that quiet in the morning before anybody else wakes up just is so healing to my soul and so good for me. So I like to do three things. I like to read the Bible in the morning, and then I like to pray. And that's either talking out loud. It's harder for me to pray in my head. It's easier for me to talk out loud or write in a prayer journal so I don't get distracted. Another thing that the Lord's been leading me into the past couple of years is doing listening prayers. So sometimes I'll get a journal and I'll just say, God, what's something you love about me? Or what's something you want me to know today? Or what is something I'm holding on to you don't want me to hold on to? Or my favorite is, what's something you want to speak to me about my kids? Because I need so much help parenting the four of them. And he will speak to me. And sometimes it's right away and I jot it down in my journal. And other times it's nothing, but later on, maybe something I read in the Bible or something I hear in a sermon. So that's a way that I love to connect with God. And then another one is breath prayers. And this listening prayers and breath prayers you could totally do with your kids too, which we write about a lot on our blog. But breath prayers has been especially helpful during this time that we're living in because we're all going through a lot and we have our pandemic. We have a lot of stuff going on in the world. So for me, when anxiety starts to creep in, which it does a lot, it helps me, even if I don't have my morning time because the kids woke up earlier, it's the middle of the day and something stressful, just breathing in and starting a prayer and breathing out, finishing. So like a lot, one I do all the time is, Holy Spirit, bring me peace. And breathing like that over and over again, it calms down your heart rate. The calming receptors are activated. It's like a physical worship. So that's something I do even before I get out of bed. Sometimes when I wake, you know, those mornings you wake up already anxious or that first thought in your head is something that you have to figure out or do. So just doing those breath prayers over and over again until my mind is actually believing what I'm saying and how I'm breathing. So that's another way that I like to connect with God.
I love that. I want to circle back to the listening prayers for a little bit because I know this is something that I've done, but not everybody is familiar with how to listen to God. Because I know there's definitely a, when I grew up, it was just like, God will only speak to you through scripture. But
yes.
I do believe that God speaks to us in other ways as well. So can you tell us a little bit about how do you know when you're hearing God?
That is such a good question. I love that. Yes. And I was kind of raised the same way. I didn't start listening to God and really meditating on his word or begging him to speak to me until, like later on in college, and I grew up in the faith. But, So it's difficult because sometimes people will say, God told me this, and you wonder, okay, how do you know this is true? And you always test it in scripture. If it's something against scripture, or if it's something that is sinful, like that wouldn't be God's voice. But my favorite way to do this is when I first started doing it, because I am so bad at resting and just being quiet before him. But I know that the creator of the universe wants to talk to me, which is so humbling and so amazing. So when I first started, I would actually set a timer, and I would set a timer maybe for 5 minutes, and that would feel like eternity. But it's a long time to be totally still and quiet. But it's like anything, practice makes perfect. So the more I do it, the more I can kind of hunker down and hear his voice. And for me, and I know God speaks to people differently, but one of the things, I went to a spiritual director before I had kids, when I was a lot younger, and she taught me to ask God for pictures. So to say, like, God, would you pop a picture in my mind about what you're feeling about me, or something like that? And sometimes I would do that and nothing, you know, but other times I would, and then something would kind of pop into my head. So for instance, recently with my kids. So after each kid, I had a little bit of postpartum depression and anxiety, and it got really bad with the third one when the third one was born. Part of the reason was because my second had, she was born, and after she was born, we realized she had a heart disease and she needed 2 open heart surgeries. And then the third one came so quickly. So it was like, I was just so on edge. And so after the third one was born, and she was about 6 or 7 months at this time, and I felt like I was struggling so much with just kind of snapping at the kids. And I would find myself just so frustrated and saying things to them sometimes like, what is wrong with you? Why would you do that? And then I would lay in bed at night thinking, that's what the enemy's going to say to them. You know, what's wrong with you? No one wants to be around you. And that's what the world is going to say to them. And it made me sad to think that their mom, like their most trusted caretaker, was saying those things too. And instead of it being conviction, it just was total shame about my parenting. Mm-hmm. And I tried so hard to find the answers. Like, I would read so many parenting books and listen to podcasts and call pastors and mentors, and all of those things are good. They're just not first, right? First is going to God, because he made our kids and he loves them and he wants to help us parent. So one morning, and so this was a couple years ago when my third was a baby, I woke up in the morning and I just begged God to speak. Like, I was in tears. I was on my knees saying, Holy Spirit, please speak to me about each kid. I just need a word from you, because I don't know what to do. I'm not connecting with them. I'm struggling as a mom. And I was quiet. It might have only been 5 or 10 minutes, but he answered that prayer. And I think, I know that God loves our desperate prayers when we're just so humble and desperate before him. And he actually popped a word into my head for each kid. And how I knew it was the Lord's voice and not me is, it was so opposite of what I had been thinking was the problem. It was these 3 words. So Charlie, I heard the word hold, just the word hold. It kind of popped up in my head. So I wrote it in my journal, had no idea what that meant. It seemed like a weird word. For Brinley, it was guide. And for Lila, it was see. And it's so funny, because then I had to spend a day kind of saying, God, what were these words that popped in my head? Were they from you? Did I make them up? What are they? And then it became so clear to me. So hold, Charlie, he is the biggest boy. And his love language is definitely physical touch. But he was getting older. I was constantly holding the baby, and we had our crazy ministry schedule, so much going on. And then I had the middle one who was, you know, needed a lot of guidance. And so I realized that I hadn't really been connecting with him physically. And so that very day, I just started to like come over and wrestle him real quick, or put my hand on his shoulder, just give him a couple hugs during the day. And I noticed our relationship like instantly more connected. And he would share more that was on his heart. And that night I was just sobbing, because I was like, God, you are so good. I wouldn't have found that in a book or from a pastor. And maybe I would, but not in that specific way that my child needed it. And then for Brinley, it was guide, because she was in her terrible twos. And I was so exhausted with the baby. I was kind of doing that thing where you look the other way when they do something wrong, because I had like no energy to put her on timeout. Yeah. So I felt like God was saying, she is in a season where she needs guidance from you. She needs you to shine the light. And then Lila's, oh my goodness. Lila is just still, she's the one who just turned 4. She is such a sweetheart. But when she was a baby, when she was about this age, 6 months around, I was constantly on the go. So she was attached to my hip or in the baby carrier. And I was doing all these things for the older two. And we had our crazy schedule of ministry. And I would go to bed at night thinking, did I even look in her eyes today? Mm-hmm. And so I felt like God really convicted me of that. So that day, I just, every couple of minutes when I was holding her, I would stop and look into her beautiful hazel eyes. And I would just say, I see you, Lila. And it's funny because that is still something today that I do with her, because she's my quietest one. And so she needs to be reminded that she is seen and she is heard and she is valuable. And I didn't even know that I didn't know that about my own child. It was like this desperate prayer and the Holy Spirit speaking to me. I felt like he was like, finally, you're listening, Sarah. Finally, you're on your knees. You're not searching for answers everywhere. You're coming to me first. And that was the beginning of a whole shift in my parenting where I realized God made my kids. He loves them more than I do, and he wants to speak to me about them. And then that's something that I do now with the kids. So we'll set the timer, and kids, you have to have a lot more patience because they're, you know, we think it's hard for us to be quiet for 5 minutes. So we'll do 30 seconds. And we actually, the other night, did that. I had the kids, they were all fighting and we were going to go to bed. And I said, you guys, let's do our listening to God. We're going to be quiet for a whole minute. And just think about God and how amazing he is. And so after a minute, you know, the older kids were like, kind of like, that was fun. God's cool. But then the third one, she said, God told me, he said, I love you, Lila. I love you, Lila. I love you, Lila. And he said, Goliath won't hurt me. And it was just so sweet to me because I thought, well, that totally sounds like God. God is speaking to her, reminding her of his love. Yeah. So I'm hoping that by them practicing this as kids, which is not something I ever did as a kid, that as they grow up and they go through harder times and darker seasons, they'll remember that God wants to speak to them through his word, definitely through his word, but also directly. And sometimes it's just a feeling. I'll tell them, sometimes when you listen to God, you'll just be reminded he loves you. You'll feel his hug. Or sometimes he might pop a word into your head and you can ask me about it and we can check scripture to make sure that was really from him. And so that's something we do a lot in our family. And I don't know how I ever lived without it. It's such a comfort to me to have that built into my day. And
is that something that you did with them starting from when they were babies, or did you incorporate that in just like a year or two ago? Or
that just started, so that I hadn't done that with the older two. It was the beginning. So Lila was a baby, so my oldest was 4, and that's when I first kind of tried it. It's so much easier now that they're 7 and 6 and 4. All three of them can do it now, not the 1.5-year-old, though I'm sure I could practice, you know, try to practice that with him. But yeah, that's something that I started around when the oldest was about 4 and now have been continuing to do.
Oh, that's really cool. That's definitely one way for our kids to actually connect with God through prayer and not just feel like they're talking to him, but have him talk back. So
yes, absolutely.
You already answered one of my questions then. So let's talk more then about praying with kids. So why are you passionate about praying with kids?
I love that question. Well, one of the most awesome things about prayer is it's really the only gift that we can give them, or legacy that we can leave our kids that lasts forever. Because when we pray with them, that impacts their whole life, but also their kids and their kids and their kids for generations to come. Praying with kids is so cool because it does so many things. It not only connects them with God, but it connects you with God, and then it connects you with each other. So when we started this ministry and we started finding more ways to pray and be, that weren't just formalities, it weren't just before bed, though that's good too, or before dinner. When we started to do it all day long and do these games, I noticed that we were a lot closer as a family, and research totally backs that up. All the research shows that kids that pray with their families are closer to their families. And kids who have parents that pray, praying parents, even if they themselves don't pray together, but they have seen their parents pray, they're more likely to keep their faith growing up. So I thought that was really interesting, and also kind of gave me a sigh of relief because I am a recovering perfectionist. So in the beginning of my parenting, I wanted to do like the organic foods and the Pinterest crafts and the like perfect holidays and everything magical. And it's so exhausting, especially when I started to have more kids. And even when it was just the one, it was exhausting. But God really showed me through scripture that the main goal is to teach up a child in the way he should grow. And when he is older, he won't depart from it. That our main goal as parents is to teach them about God. So to pray with them and for them. When I made that a non-negotiable part of my day, I was so much more connected with my kids than ever before.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Cool. So what are some of the things that you found helpful when you're praying with kids, like things to remember or to keep in mind or tools that you've used that have been helpful?
That's a great question. Well, I love doing prayer games with them. That's something that I hadn't done before. And we started that, Stephanie, my friend and I, who run the ministry together, we started sharing some of the things we did that we didn't even realize were prayer games. And then we started creating more and practicing them in our families. And the fun thing about doing prayer games is, like I said before, then it turns into something that's not just a formality, but your kids are learning that prayer is just a way of life. So an example of this is we play the grateful game. And the grateful game, we just go back and forth saying something we want to praise Jesus for. So thank you, God. My son, the first time we played it, he said, thank you, God, that dinosaurs are extinct because otherwise it would be scary. So we say, thank you for, I know, isn't that great? I've never praised God for that until he brought that to me. Like, that would be awful if we had to dodge T-Rexes when we were trying to get a coffee or something, you know? But we go back and forth. And now that they're older, they want to play ABC version. So you start with A, thank you, God, for apples because they're delicious. Thank you for Brinley. She's a great sister. And we play this in the car or we play this when they're in the bath. And it's funny because I used to be the one to suggest it when I was just feeling really grumpy and needed a heart change. And now they lead us. So they say, oh, let's play the grateful game, you know, when we're driving or when somebody's mad and they want to snap out of it or they're having a hard time. And then another one that we do, we have like a beach ball prayer. We have some really cute little prayer journals that you can print out from our website. But we also do just a lot of activities that don't take a lot of time. So one of those would be the prayer of examine. And that is a spiritual discipline of noticing God's involvement and action in your day and then thanking him for it. And so we do that at dinner time. And this is a great one to do, especially now because so many families are having more meals together. But the cool thing about this is we don't say, okay, let's do the prayer of examine, kids. We just call it the dinner game. And we just say, what was the best part of your day, the hardest part, and where did you see God working? And then we kind of popcorn it. So if my son starts it, he'll say, okay, now I want to ask Friendly this question. And the cool thing about this is when we first started it, oh my goodness, when we got to that question, where did you see God? Everybody, I don't know. But now that we've been doing this for a couple of years, and we don't do it every night, I wish we did, but we definitely do it on our Sabbath, our Friday nights, and a couple other nights. But when last week we played this game, Brinley said, when we got to that question, she said, well, I can't just pick one way God was working. I saw him all day long. And then she started telling us she saw God in her dad. She saw him in different circumstances in her day. And I was just thinking, oh, that's it. Like, she's praying. She's thanking God for his involvement in her day, but she doesn't even know she's praying. It's just something that we do. It's become like a culture in our home. And the fun thing about prayer games is when I first started, so a couple years ago, when God reminded me, like, you need to do this with me and you need to make praying with them and for them just a non-negotiable part of your day. First, it started out intentional where I'd say, okay, I'm going to think of one prayer game to do every day or every week if it was a harder week. And now it's just so ingrained in our family culture that it's no work for me. They do it. You know, the kids say, let's do the dinner game. Let's write an entry in our miracle book. Let's play beach ball prayers, whatever it is. And again, we're not perfect. We have all kinds of conflicts in our family, but prayer, something, I know that sounded like, but prayer is just something that the kids are so used to doing. So that's been a big game changer in our family.
Yeah. That's a great way to equip them just as they grow. Now they know I can use these tools. I mean, partly as tools to, you know, get out of a grumpy day or something, but also to connect with God too. So that's great.
Yes. I love how you said that. Cause even the other night, I have one child who's can be very discontent. And I know some moms can relate to this, but there was a day where she was just, I mean, everything was terrible and awful and not even even gifts we would give her, you know, like a special treat, that there was something wrong with it. And I was totally fed up. And at bedtime, everybody was in bed and she was in her top bunk making her little sound effects like worst day ever. And I kind of wanted to just go to bed and ignore it. And half the time, or more than half the time, that's what I do. But I felt like God was like, why don't you spend a little extra time with her? So I jumped in her top bunk and I said, hey, do you want to stay up later than everyone else and play the grateful game? And she was like, I guess so. And so we just went back and forth saying things we were thankful for in her room, like super superficial, you know, thank you God for that dollhouse. It's so fun. And back and forth. And after a few minutes, she like settled in her body and she took a deep breath and she said, Mommy, this really does make me feel better. It really does make my heart happy. And it made me think that right now, this is just a silly game that we play. It's not, there's nothing about it that they're going, wow, this is a spiritual practice of looking for gratitude. But that is my hope and my expectation that as she grows up and she does go through really hard times, like this particular daughter, she's going to have another heart surgery. She's going, she's growing up in a world that's got a lot of darkness in it and there's a lot of pain. And so for her to practice praising God for juice boxes, even when she's mad, maybe as she grows up, she will know, okay, I got to praise God. I have to worship him through a storm. And that'll get her through and silence her fears, because fear is silence when we praise God. So it's kind of practicing now to build those tools, like you said, and also to connect her with God now.
Yeah, which is just as important now as it is later. I remember hearing somebody say once that the spirit of God that's in our children is the exact same size of spirit that's in me.
Oh,
right? So my kid doesn't get a miniature-sized Holy Spirit. They get the same Holy Spirit. And I was like,
that is so good. I like that. And it's true. And God speaks to kids and he speaks through them. And it's the same God. It's the same Holy Spirit. I love that. That's really cool.
So it's just as important for them to, I mean, it is important as a tool for the future, like I said before, but also important now that they know that they can trust him, right?
I love that.
Do you have any ideas, aside from listening prayer, how we can help our kids pray in ways that actually connect them with God instead of, you know, just saying words because mom wants them to say something?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes, absolutely. I think, well, another thing I wanted to say that, so obviously listening prayers is a great one. Breath prayers. Okay. So breath prayers has been huge because I started practicing that when I first became a mom. I went to a mom's group and someone taught us how to breathe in. This is such an ancient practice, but breathe in deeply, say a name for God, breathe out, and then a desire. So for example, what I said earlier, Holy Spirit, bring me peace, or, even a verse you can do, you know, I am a child of God, whatever it is, you start your prayer, you breathe out and you end your prayer. But I never thought to do that with my own kids until we started researching, praying with kids and, practicing that. And so that is something that I do with the kids now. And, that's been something that really connects us too, because when they're spiraling out of control or having a tantrum, and I can grab them and scoop them up in my arms and look into their eyes, which a lot of times we save that, looking into their eyes for when they're in trouble, you know, but into their eyes and breathing deeply together and calling on God together. And sometimes it's me comforting my child, but sometimes it's me, like I just lost it, or I was very worried in front of them and they saw my stress or whatever it was, and scooping them up and together doing a breath prayer. It connects us closer together while connecting us closer to God. And even recently we went to the movie, we saw a movie in the movie theater before the pandemic, of course. And my daughter, Brinley, it's another Brinley story, but she got scared. There was a scary part in this kid's movie. And she's so funny. She stood up and she said, Holy Spirit, bring me peace. The best, because I was partly embarrassed because everybody heard her, and partly like, you go girl, like you call on God when you're scared. And for her, it was very authentic, you know, her just calling on him because she was afraid in the movie. Scary part. And then another thing about that question that you asked, which I think is so great, is that I think that not pushing them is also so good, because there was a time when I thought, I really want them to pray. They have to love Jesus. This is all that matters. And if they would say something like, prayer was boring, that would worry me. You know, I was afraid for their future. And it's totally normal. That's a normal part of development. And some of the kids catch on more than others. Like I have one who is just She's so Holy Spirit filled. Another one who's, you know, such a sweetheart and God's working in his life, but he's not quite craving that depth that the other, you know, so there's different places where they are, and ultimately they're God's kids. But I think to remember that modeling prayer for them is even more important than praying for them or making them pray. So sometimes at night I'll say, who do you want to pray for? And they'll say, I don't really want to pray, but you can pray for Orlando from my class. So then I will pray for them. And then them seeing me pray, this is something I didn't know, because I really thought in the beginning that I needed to model like being pretty perfect, you know, having all the gifts of the Holy Spirit and staying calm. And if I freaked out, I would do that on my own. But they know and they see me. And so they see me confess. I mean, confession prayers, that's a big part of our family. I stole this from a podcast, but we say, we are a house of confession and not perfection. We say that together all the time as a family. So they see me going to God and apologizing, and going to them and apologizing, calling on him, doing my breath prayers, praying in the car when something is stressful, or we hear an ambulance. They see me doing that all the time. And so they do catch on, but it's hard to see that fruit. And sometimes it takes years and years, I know, to see that fruit. But I think that's an important thing to remember too, is rather than forcing them practice praying together as a family, but there are activities that you'll do that won't work for your family, or that the kids won't really like. If you try it again later, or you try something else that works for you, or you focus on your relationship with God first and you praying and you going to him. And the research shows us that even kids that grew up in homes where they didn't even do devotionals or have a great youth group or whatever it was, the kids that saw their parents going to Jesus and relying on him are the ones more likely to keep that faith later on, which is interesting. I think that has a lot of layers to it, but one of them is you're modeling it, a real relationship with Jesus. And another one is you're praying for them, right? If you're spending time praying for your kids and you're praying for their future. And ultimately we can't control that. We can just surrender and we can obey God and surrender the outcome. And we don't know what he's going to do, but we just obey him by taking that step of praying for them and with them every day. Hmm.
Yes. Amen.
That's a hard one for me, because I want to control everything. And God is always reminding me of that. You're not in charge. You're not in charge.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's just that bit about modeling. That's definitely something I've been learning over the last couple of years, how important that is. I mean, we can teach our kids and read the Bible with them and have all the fancy lessons, but if we're not showing that this is actually something that makes a difference in our lives.
Yes.
It's just another class for them.
Right? Because they're watching us. Yeah. That's good. Really good.
Yeah. So what is one piece of encouragement you have for moms who want to help their kids learn to pray, but maybe you're struggling to make it feel natural?
Mm, yes. Well, I know I've kind of said this a little bit, but that saying practice makes perfect, and not that we will ever be perfect at praying or being close to Jesus. That's the awesome thing, right? Because we're constantly craving more of him. Spending time with him makes us want even more. But practicing these things, like I said, with the dinner game, I mean, that was a joke. The kids would say, God in my day, like he's in heaven, he's not here, you know. And then the more we did it and the more we modeled it now, that made me feel like I could just die and go to heaven last week when she said, I saw him all day long. So the more you practice that, the more you start to see that fruit. It's kind of like when you're learning to drive, it's so awkward at first and you don't think you're ever going to get it. And then now that's such a natural part of our lives. I don't even think about getting from one place to another. Well, not lately. I can't even remember the last time I drove, but in normal real life. And so same thing, the more that you practice this, it is a little awkward at first. And especially when your kids are older, so many things are easy when they're little, because, you know, nothing's too silly. Like even, you know, it's funny. We started doing a practice of washing their feet, like for special occasions. And that I thought to myself, I would have felt so awkward as a kid if my parents wanted to wash my feet, but that's because we didn't do that in our family. Yeah. And so starting those things young, but even with older kids, like it might be a little awkward at first when you try some of these things, but the more you do it and the more you model it for it, the more it becomes just a way of life. And another encouragement, I always like to say this to moms because I'm saying it to myself too, but I like to remember that out of all the moms in the whole world. At any time in history or any place, God chose you to be the mom of your kids. He chose me to be the mom of my kids. So he is going to give us everything we need to parent them well and to find out what works best for them and to pray with them. And he wants to speak to us. So when we stop and we listen to him and we spend time praying for our kids, he is so blessed when we do that, and he is ready to speak to us and give us answers from his word and from his voice.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking when you said God gives us everything that we need for that, it's not that we just have everything that we need inherently inside us as moms. What you were saying is that God is like, I have everything you need. I'm right here. Just ask me for it.
Exactly.
I'll give you what you need at the time. It's not, it's not in you. You can't do it on your own.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Isn't that, I know. And I think there was part of me as a mom that felt like things would just come naturally to me because I did love the Lord and I did want to be a mom, but I had no idea how hard it would be and how exhausting it would be. And I think I spent years trying to parent out of my own strength, and I still fall into that pattern and have to stop and surrender. But I'm a total mess of a mom. I'm a terrible mom without Jesus, but he does. He gives me his gifts of his spirit and speaks to me and fills me up with his love, but when I ask him for it, when I get on my knees and beg him to help me. And that's a really good point. It's not just there. We need to access it. We need to keep praying and keep asking him for it.
Well, you said it. So all right. So we're at our 30-minute mark here, so I want to wrap up. But just before we go, where can we find you online? Can you give us the actual name of your website?
Yes. Awesome. Okay. It's raisingprayerfulkids.com. And it's awesome. Right now, if you subscribe, I would love it if you subscribe, you get three things. I actually have them printed out. So you get our little, this is our nature prayer walk. This is another good prayer game. You can do a nature prayer walk without this, but my kids have been loving this now that we're on summer. They take it with them when we go on a walk, and it's, you know, find something funny God made, find a bird that's singing to God. And then we just thank him for that. And that's another way to pray, right? Just being on a walk saying, God, you're so cool. You made that bird. So there's that one. And then we have this year of praying for your kids. This one I love because it keeps me focused. Instead of just praying the same prayer every night, each month we have kind of one thing we're honing in on together. And then there's also prayer journals. We have an elementary one and a preschool one, and they have fun little coloring pages and just cool. Way to pray every day. So that's just if you want to subscribe. And then we send out emails once a month with different printables, stuff like that, and different prayer game ideas. And then we also have Instagram and Facebook that's the same name, Raising Prayerful Kids.
Super. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. This has been great. I kind of feel like, oh, I learned so much. I need to watch this like five more times to digest it all.
Thank you so much, Chrissy. It's so great to talk to you. And it's so awesome that you just provide this space for moms to come. I just think it's amazing that all the moms would come and spend their time learning more and you know, working on being a better parent and spending time with Jesus. I think it's so great what you do and so empowering.
Well, thanks for being our teacher today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.